Hello, hello, fellow fans.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the second episode of Spoiler Alert.
Yes, we're so glad you're here. We hope you caught our first episode where we talked about a lot of things, but we were mostly focused on talking about Marvel's What If episode one. So in true fashion, we're going to talk about episode two today on our episode two.
Yeah, it seems to be the newest goings on. So I think we're going to be kind of fluid as far as what we're covering, but that seems to be the prevailing fan kind of show right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
If we had started this a couple weeks ago, we'd be talking about Loki.
Mm-hmm,
and
that's
we'd be
true.
Talking about our Loki merch.
We can still talk about Loki, but right now we're going to focus on this. And if you guys want to hear what our take on Loki was, let us know. We want to hear your take on Loki, too.
And definitely check out our Loki variant jacket, because I wear that jacket just for me, because it's a jacket that I would have purchased if I had seen it somewhere. And I'm glad that we were able to make it. And you know what's so weird is that I did not really see that jacket pop up anywhere else. I have not seen it. I would have thought that it would have been in Avengers Campus right away.
You mean like official?
Like a real one, yeah. Because it was so prevalent. And the moment he put it on, I thought to myself, I need that jacket. And I was waiting because I thought, oh, somebody's going to be doing this. Nobody did that jacket. And people have used that artwork on t-shirts.
Well, we have a t-shirt as well.
We do have one as well, if that's what you're going for. But I like that we have the option. If you want to bound or you really want to embrace that Loki look. But enough about that. Anyways.
So this episode, though, was focused on T'Challa as Star-Lord.
So we answered our question from last week, which was, are they going to follow timeline order of all the movies? Which, now that I'm, you know, watching a second episode that didn't do that, I think to myself, okay, maybe that would have been more of a commitment. It's easier just to jump around. What I do want to know, which I don't know if it was answered or maybe we just missed it, is if these are all in the same what ifs or if these are all completely different branches. No, they have to be different what ifs, don't they? Yes, they do. They're all different timelines.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. These are different branches, if you will. Now that we understand timeline theory and such from Loki.
So every episode is jumping around to a different what if, but also jumping around to a different point in that timeline. They're not all kind of, I guess that I got to answer my own question again. That'd be kind of boring to see just the same character with the...
Well, no, I think I know what you mean. Like, you were thinking, like, what if is... Oh, wow. What if the show What If was actually showing you one branch of the timeline?
Yeah.
And it was continuing
Didn't they have that in one of the ads? It was something like one small change can alter all the other changes. Remember, like, imagine what one small change can
do. So you're wondering, are all of these events happening on...
They're not. But I answered my own question.
Okay.
Because,
there's all separate branches from the sacred timeline.
Yes, as we saw in this episode, the Collector had some weapons that were all the biggie weapons from all the other Marvel guys. Because
that was very cool. That was a great Easter egg. Yeah.
We saw Thor's hammer. We saw
Captain Shield.
That was the best one.
Yeah. And then he gets Loki's dagger. And then he puts on Hela's helmet.
And then the hand he uses to hit Star-Lord was from the Thor's friend, the rock guy.
Oh, yeah.
He said, I chopped this off, or I got it off of a very friendly rock guy, which I think was the reference.
Sad.
But that's... Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. You know, I have to say, though, I just loved how this episode started right off the bat, because I really loved that we saw the beginning of Guardians of the Galaxy. Same circumstances, except...
And we were seeing the same little planet name with coordinates.
Like, yeah.
We did a movie,
which
was a nice detail.
Except we don't hear the music. We don't see him dancing around. He's very calm and he's walking right up to it.
Oh.
You know?
At first, I thought that that was just to save money on licensing rights for the music, but...
No, they had music at the end of the episode,
they
so...
They did, but, you know, now I'm seeing maybe a deeper meaning where the music represented kind of Peter Quill's attitude, this very like fast and loose kind of attitude.
Well, that not only that, but the music, like, the music is symbolic to not to Star-Lord as Star-Lord, but to Peter Quill because of his mother.
And he's listening to the music when he's at the Dairy Queen at the end.
Uh-huh, exactly. But T'Challa not having that same story doesn't. And also, yes, it does tell you his character. He's just calmly approaching. And instead of in Guardians of the Galaxy where he's like, you know, I'm Star-Lord. Don't you guys know me?
Of course, yeah.
He was like, oh, it's Star-Lord. It's you. You're my hero. And he's being humble. And he's like, oh, please. Well, you don't have to call me that.
Also, at the beginning, at the beginning of Guardians, wasn't Star-Lord, like, on this mission as an aside without telling the other Ravengers?
Right? That I don't remember.
I feel like I remember he was like, where'd you go? And he's like, don't worry about it. I figured it out. Or I don't know. Now I'm remembering. Maybe we need to go watch that movie again.
I think we should, yeah.
But also, what I do remember is that little triangle thing.
Yeah.
That sucks the that ball thing out. In the original Guardians, Peter Quill throws it, and it, like, slides on the floor.
Oh, yeah.
And then it gets thrown down, where he holds it up in this one and waits for it to come to him. To me, that's even just another detail where he's more precise, because Peter Quill just kind of threw it, knew that it would do its thing. But then he didn't have it to use later, because then T'Challa, when he's fighting those two other guards, then throws it.
Yeah.
Because I really liked how that character, coming from somebody that's, you know, I wouldn't say better suited, but, you know, is good at that, like, making the peace everywhere he goes.
Of course, he really is. And he's princely even as a Ravager. Like, he's still very, you know.
What did you think about Thanos being part of their crew?
Okay,
a little tongue-in-cheek.
It was. Well, I appreciate how many tongue-in-cheek moments there really were in this whole episode, to be honest, because there were a lot of really cute and fun jokes. I like that we had Taser Face in the gang.
And
like
we saw Drax as a bartender.
Drax! Oh, and then he was like, oh, a picture for my wife and my child. Yeah, and I was like, whoa! Oh, my heart! My heart. He's like, you saved them. And so I loved that moment. I loved that whole scene. But yeah, it's really interesting because that was one of my big ponderings that I had after watching this was the Thanos of it all, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, he is still Thanos. He still wants genocide. He's telling everybody about it, but he's not doing it. And everybody's like, oh, Thanos, oh, you and your genocide. To tell this guy to shut up, like, tell him to knock it off. You know, Nebula's, like, embarrassed, and she calls him Dad, which is interesting. Mm-hmm. I really liked Nebula's character.
I did, too.
She was cute with the hair. And
at first, you didn't recognize her.
Right, but then you hear her voice, and then you're like, oh. And it was like, I was wondering, is there going to be, like, a little love connection with T'Challa and with Nebula? It seemed like there was. Seemed like that was maybe hinted at. Yeah. Maybe. But anyway, no, it was weird to see Thanos, and I just felt such strong emotion at seeing him. And I was like, I don't like that he's being buddy-buddy with everybody, but, you know, it's not the same. And they made light of the snap. They made light of it by him being like, they'd be gone just like that. And I was like, so weird. But, like, what's your take on that? Who is Thanos without that? Oh, and another thing is, no Gamora.
No, because remember, Gamora would have been picked up at one of the first planets when Thanos was trying to do his whole, like, erase half the people.
Right. So how does T'Challa becoming Star-Lord affect that from way back then? Because that would have been years prior to what we saw. So how did him coming in as Star-Lord stop that from happening? I mean, if you think about it.
You mean, he met Gamora in the first movie.
No, I'm sorry. I mean, stop Thanos from taking Gamora as a child.
Oh, well, that must have been there must have been a time in this universe where they had run-ins, and And but when it was Thanos,
because he said something about, like, you know, oh, I went straight or whatever, right?
Yeah. So, well, maybe his planet of Titan didn't actually get destroyed. Maybe they were in need. Remember, he was saying they were in need. There was too many people. There was a lot of suffering. Maybe, you know, the Ravengers actually acting like a Robin Hood and helping people out actually helped out that planet in such a way that didn't happen. So then he just became this guy with this kind of fringe theory, but knowing that, you know, he really wasn't going to act on it. But yeah, he must have talked. They must have had a run-in, which we didn't see.
We can only guess about what happened.
Which is part of the interesting kind of way that they're approaching this, where we're getting such a condensed version of the movie. I feel like we said this last week, that you really have to know a lot.
You have to be so familiar. You do. You have to be familiar with this character's, the story, not just on a, like, casual basis, but, like, remember what happened and the impact of the whole freaking story.
None of the jokes make sense to you. None of the, like, a snap or why, you know, Thor's hammer and the shield and all that in the cabinet. Howard the Duck.
The astronaut dog and Howard the Duck. I love that they were back. I love that he saved the dog. Of course he did.
Of course he saved the dog. I like Howard the Duck.
Yeah. And I don't remember her name, but the pink girl that works for Tanalir, and how she was, like, she got her moment, and I really liked that.
Yeah, we're in the... In the original movie, she ends up getting vaporized, remember, by trying to grab the...
I do remember.
Yeah, you remember that.
That's sad.
T'Von got, like, buff.
Yeah, he did. He bulked up.
Like a mob boss.
Yeah, totally.
Because that's what happened to him. You know, Thanos said when there was a vacuum of power. So
he rose up and he did it. And it seemed like, I mean, his collection was already very expansive, but it seemed even more so. Well, like the amount of people.
Well, because if you remember, the collector in the Guardians movie was not like an underling, but he was very much like a fringe kind of guy. He had to live in this head of a ancient celestial. You know, you hadn't heard of him, but in this show they were like, I'm not going near him. People feared him. In the movie they were just like, oh, it's that guy that, like, collects things. He's like,
he's
kooky.
Just like on the fringes of society, whatever society is in the universe.
He's
out there,
just kind of fringy, and you're like, oh, he does this weird thing where he, like, wants to, like, one of everything or something. And they felt no fear about going to see him. So obviously, yeah, he probably has more resources, is collecting more things. He's not just waiting for it to come to him, but he's, like, taking it. If you remember when he talked to Groot, he had said, like, when you die, can I be there to, like, take a piece of you?
Yeah, that's right.
And it was very, like, you live, and then I just want a piece of you for my collection later. Where here, he wants
to own you.
He wants more now.
T'Challa as a living person.
You know what was funny? When I saw T'Challa, like, standing up inside the box, it was almost, from my recollection, a shot for shot standing up of when Peter Quill is standing up in the Q video for Mission Breakout, where he stands up and then it pans out and you see that all the Guardians are in. And I wonder if they maybe looked at that for inspiration, because it's almost the same shot of him standing up.
It made me want to ride the ride, I'm telling you.
Did it really? That's okay. That's a you thing.
I love that ride. I love Mission Breakout. And Nick's not a fan of it, and that's okay. I go on it by myself. I have no qualms about single rider.
I don't like that it goes up first. I don't
love
know,
it.
I don't know what it is about the up. Woo! When it was Tower of Terror,
I'm getting adrenaline just thinking about it.
I could do the down always, but if it goes up first, no.
It's okay. You know what? You have plenty of time to change your mind once we become magic key holders. You guys, I'm sure, have heard about Magic Key. It's going on sale soon. It's the on the 25th.
Very soon. Very soon.
It's the new version of the annual passes, which they discontinued for a while. They had legacy pass holders. Now that is all no more. They've revamped the system. They're calling it, rebranding it as Magic Key. And there are four different levels of Magic Keys that you can be, I guess, a key holder of.
Which is a throwback to the, oh, somebody's gonna call me out on it, but I believe it was the ticket book system from the 70s, I want to say. They had the magic key term is a kind of a throwback, where there was a, in your ticket book, you would have one of the tickets was called a magic key, and it was either,
really,
oh my gosh, I'm gonna, yeah, you keep talking. I'm going to look this
look
up,
because, that up
because I'm going to butcher it if I don't.
Well, this sounds really interesting and I do want to know. But yes, so we are planning to make that purchase as soon as we possibly can on the 25th. We'll be waiting mm-hmm. right when it goes live, and we're going to be magic key holders for sure. So that way we can just keep the magic going and we can be in the parks. And then that way we can also give you guys updates on what's happening in the park and be among the first to actually try stuff out and tell you how that is. So yeah, and we also I'm just curious to see what.
Yes. Okay. Oh. Sorry. So the magic key was a coupon that would be good for one adult admission to any ride or attraction at Disneyland. So basically, there'd be, if 75-76 is the one I'm looking at right now.
Oh.
So it was a magic key coupon. So you had the ticket, you had the number system.
Mm-hmm.
Not the number system, the letter
system. The letters A through E.
A through E. And then you had the magic key, which was any ride, no matter what, which is, you know, in a way, kind of what this is. It lets you go on any ride, no matter what, because it gets you admission
into
the park.
That is adorable.
So it's a throwback. Yeah.
Well, I love that.
Yeah, I love that too. Also dropping today as of the 18th. Genie Plus? Well, no,
Genie.
There's two.
Oh, okay.
There's Genie, which is like the free, there's like a free section of My Disney Experience app that's mm-hmm. going to recommend ways to make your
Now, this is just,
trip.
Before he continues, I'm just going to clarify that if you haven't heard of this yet, this is for Florida. This is
No? No, this is for Disneyland as well.
What?
Yes, they're rolling it out to both coasts.
At the same time?
Yes.
That I did not know.
Yeah. So
wait, is Magic Key in both parks or is that Disneyland only?
No, Disney World still has a traditional annual pass program. And for now, they're not selling the passports.
I was about to ask.
They're not.
No passport.
No passports. So you have the magic key here and
annual
the
annual pass there. But now there's also Genie.
Genie, which is going to be Genie Pass, Genie Plus.
There was just Genie Plus because
so,
everything has to have a plus now.
Yes. So part of your My Disney Experience is going to be Genie, where it's going to essentially you select kind of your favorites, your, you know, what you want to do as far as food or character meets or attractions, and it's going to kind of take its algorithm and propose a day for you that has the most the most fun time, the least amount of downtime between attractions.
Tells you what it thinks you want to do.
Exactly. Kind of like if you had, you know, if every guest who only came for a day had a friend that went there all the time and could basically book, or not book them, but recommend the most magical day for them,
mm-hmm.
this app is going to do. Oh, you don't care about this, but you want this and you like this ride.
It's interesting you kinda use the term friend, like you had a friend, because you ain't never had a friend like me. Wah, 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 wah.
The podcast just got pinged for copyright infringement.
Oh, no.
But anyways, and then there is a Genie Plus, which is all of that, plus the ability to essentially roll in FastPass Plus, if you remember that. So it's all
but
of those.
But that is paid.
Yes, it's all of those suggestions. Plus, if there is, now would be the best time to go on this ride because the line is normally shorter. You know, you have a fast pass for it automatically because you have Genie Plus for the day, which at Disneyland is going to be $20 a day.
Okay.
Even if you
so
have
this is almost like Max Pass.
But Max Pass you could pay for a year. This you're just gonna be paying for that day. Even if you have a magic key, you are still paying $20 for that day. And then if you go another day and you want the same service, you're paying another $20.
Now, here's my question. If I'm a regular park goer
mm-hmm.
and I just buy a one-day ticket and I go, oh boy, I would really like to get on Big Thunder Mountain and the wait is really long and I'm going to go get a fast pass from the little fast pass machine and just stick my card in and get it out. Is that going to be the same anymore? Can one do that?
No. So wow. That fast pass machine that you are referencing is not there anymore.
Already?
Yes.
It's gone?
Well, if it's not gone yet, we'll check when we go. It's covered. They're not doing it. Yes. They took the closure as a time to really reset a lot of the things that were on their wish list.
Yeah.
And this was one of them. So no, there's going to be a standby. There's going to be a virtual queue.
Wow.
For some rides, and then there's going to be a they call it Lightning Lane. Which if you
Lightning
have,
Lane, Lightning McQueen.
Unfortunately, not branded to Lightning McQueen.
What?
Just called Lightning Lane.
That seems like a big missed opportunity.
Well, in Disneyland Paris, the Lightning Lane is themed to Lightning McQueen. But here, basically, that's like I paid for Genie Plus, so I get what was called Max Pass. So I go through a line during my Max Pass window reservation with a very short line. That is called Lightning Lane. I know. Mm. There's a lot of terminology that they're folding
this
in here.
This is a lot to learn.
But here is the most weirdest part.
We like weird.
Yeah. Well, not weird. Weird's not the right word. What's the right word? Lucrative. There it is.
Ah.
that is only going to be good for, let's call it your A through B, C, D. A through D level rides.
Oh.
Your e-ticket rides are not going to be part of the Genie Plus Lightning Lane system.
What?
And if you want a fast pass to those are...
Those are what you do want a fast pass for.
Those are now ad hoc. So it is a one-time cost to get a fast pass to those, just like they have in Disneyland Paris. So if you want to go on Rise of the Resistance... Or Radiator Springs Racers.
Space Mountain,
maybe. Whatever they decide is one of those like really like new big attraction ones. It's going to be, you want a fast pass for it? That's $8, $10 a person to do it right now. Yes. So
a person per ride too?
Mm-hmm.
What?
So that's the weird part is that you have this... You have a free kind of curated park experience, which I get.
Uh-huh.
You have the additional ticket, which I get. And then you have the stuff that the additional ticket doesn't cover.
Wow.
Which is, yeah. So
and it's, all of this also coming out around the 50th celebration for Walt Disney World.
Yeah, coming
which,
up.
Which, I mean, for our Florida friends, it must be kind of weird and confusing right now. Things were already changing very much day to day with COVID. And now these changes are rolling out and rolling out rather quickly, all in the midst of a celebration of the 50th.
Yeah.
And I feel like the celebration is getting kind of lackluster before it's even begun. Because all of these changes are happening and people are just like, I don't know, yeah. 50th was supposed to be really incredible.
It was, and it seems like the stuff they're doing to the parks should be really cool, but, I will say, I'm not too stoked about the merchandise.
Yeah, let's talk about that for just a minute.
Before we wrap up here, the merchandise, I'm not a fan, and I don't think that I'm alone. I think there's a lot of people that are not a fan of the merchandise. Channel said Mickey Views on YouTube said it seems so far removed from what it's supposed to be celebrating. And you look at the spirit jersey
That's the thing.
Shirt with like the print of the castle.
I feel like Disney's just fallen into a very similar pattern with every single holiday season movie release.
There's a spirit jersey, there's a lounge fly backpack,
and then there's mini ears.
Yep. And
they are all
not to say that pattern isn't good.
Obviously, those are their top three sellers. It's lacking creativity.
The thing is, there's a way to make those three items creative, and I think we're just doing the safe route, which you know, to be fair, they cater to a mass audience. Yes. The people that are super into like the hyper niche stuff, you know, don't come anywhere near the amount of people from, you know, pick any other state that's not New York or California that go to those places and do mm-hmm. buy that merchandise generally. That's true.
But I mean, looking at the 50th merch, I was underwhelmed.
I was.
And just, you know, even I'm sitting there looking at the like the teaser images and stuff that they released, and I was just like, I can already think of 10 different ways that I would design that differently.
Yeah, which reminds me, Janae, aren't we working on some 50th anniversary inspired merchandise?
That's what I'm saying, is that I was inspired by their lack of creativity to kind of inject some of my own creativity and maybe make something that is an ode to the 50th and an ode to a retro throwback of 70s Disney that fans might like. Fans that are like us, that are going to go and really wanted something that was fun and retro and like
actually
you know, reminiscent of the special things about that park that make it special and were special to it on opening day. So I was thinking about a lot of different opening day stuff, and you gave me a lot of great ideas too with your wealth of knowledge. So I'm working on that a little bit. Now, the official 50th doesn't launch until October, I believe. The celebration starts
October 1st, 1971.
Of course, that was the day. So you know, maybe sometime within September, you'll start to see those things roll out in the shop.
Yeah, and we'll definitely keep you posted on it, and we might even talk about it on the podcast and maybe talk about something related to opening day 1971.
I would love to do that. I think that would be great.
But look out for that because that's going to be, follow us on social because that'll be the place where we kind of tease it. Mm-hmm. And
our shop, by the way, if this is your first time tuning in and you're like, what are they talking about? Mm-hmm. Fan Service Apparel. It's our Fan Service Apparel shop. And it's, we consider ourselves fans of many different fandoms, and we are often like not always happy with kind of the stuff they make for the mass. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with it because obviously they're making it because it works and it sells. But we are people who like things that aren't, don't have the just a logo kind mm-hmm. of smacked on the front of a shirt or, you know, things like that. We like to get a little more specific, creative, and wear things that or maybe exactly from a show that we like or a movie that we like. So we were like, let's just do that. Let's just start making things inspired by our favorite shows, our favorite movies, and let's talk about our favorite shows and movies on this podcast. And so they kind of go hand in hand. So this is Fan Service Apparel. You can check out fanserviceapparel.com. You can also find us on Etsy, Fan Service Apparel. Find us and make sure to favorite our shop. And then if you'd like, we would love it if you'd follow us on social media. Our Instagram handle is Fan Service Apparel. Our Facebook page is Fan Service Apparel.
And, pretty easy. We'll be posting and, you know, teasing new stuff as it's going to come out. And I don't want to oversell it, but I really do think that we're going to have some really cool stuff for people that really feel that there is a need for vintage Disney merch that is really, really well suited for an anniversary.
Yeah.
And that really speaks to what was Disney World when it launched. And, you know,
this is a whole other episode.
Just, I mean, one thing is that when the park first launched, it was really marketed as like a resort destination. And the Contemporary was an attraction almost as much as in the Magic Kingdom. And a lot of the logos, treatments, and the imagery when selling this kind of new concept, it had the Contemporary in it, and it would be so cool to incorporate that in. But you look at the stuff that they're doing, and it's the castle now, which, I mean, it was the one there, but it's like an outline of the castle, and it says 50 on it with blue and pink, and
gold. I think I saw black and gold.
Yeah, that's for like that Luxe collection that's coming out later on.
That was the thing I liked the least, I think.
It was like a Juicy Couture 2000s tracksuit type
of
thing.
Oh gosh, I don't know.
But yeah, like we're missing all of that. So I'm very excited to just purchase these things once they come out in our shop because I want to wear them.
Yeah.
Which is gives me a good feeling that people will enjoy looking at them and purchasing them and wearing them in the parks themselves.
I sure hope so.
Because it's like it just gives you that like like that, ooh, this is such a specific thing, and other people that
if you
know,
could see his face right now when he made that sound. It's like he's enjoying like I don't know, like a hot cup of coffee.
A good Parmesan cheese.
Okay, sure. Yes. The feeling you get when you have a good Parmesan cheese.
Like when you have like a brand
new
container.
That's what we want to give you people. You find people
and
of the internet.
And you're sprinkling it and it's brand new. So there's no concern about how much Parm you're putting on because you have a brand new container. Mm. The world is your oyster to put Parm on.
Gross. Oh my goodness. Anyway, okay. I think we best wrap it up for today. thank you guys so much for listening. This podcast is sponsored by no one. So if you'd like to be a sponsor, let us know. We can work something out. Thanks so much for listening, you guys. And we'll talk to you next time.
Yeah. We'll see you then.
Bye.